And away we go. Hour number four of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. The two most talked about quarterbacks outside of Tom Brady in the last 2 years, probably Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, we all thought he was going to leave the Green Bay Packers. And when I say we all, I can't include myself in that. The majority of people thought he was going to leave the Green Bay Packers. When John Kuhn joined us and said there was a 75% chance that he was going to be back, that's when I started to believe, before the extension was signed, that Aaron Rodgers was going to be back in Green Bay for the last two seasons. You know, that's been going on for now 2 years. And then you look at Russell Wilson. I think it was very clear where, Ryan, we were really mystified. We were both saying, this seems like a slam dunk that at the end of this past football season, Russell Wilson was going to want out of Seattle. And every single person that covered the Seahawks that we would put on would say, oh, yeah, it's a bunch of hogwash. It's not going to happen. It's an overblown story. It's a lot's being made here, and there's really nothing to see. And you played the rejoin earlier. Russell Wilson, through his agent, gave four teams 2 years ago, two off seasons ago, that he would accept a trade to. And that's basically like me saying at the time, oh, yeah, I want to go on a diet. I'm not telling you to go get me ice cream. But if you happen to be at the ice cream store and you see chocolate chip cookie dough, mint chocolate chip, fish food, or cookies and cream, you know, you like one of those flavors, bring them back. And that's what Russell Wilson did. Yeah, I'm not saying I want to get traded, but if you want to find it in the kindness of your heart to trade me, these are the four teams I'd accept the trade to. And then this offseason, we all know how it went down. Clearly, Russell Wilson gets traded. Russell Wilson now on the Broncos, and now Russell Wilson 0-1 as an NFL quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And embarrassingly, last night, he dropped that football game to the Seattle Seahawks, led by Geno Smith. Yikes. And I go into that decision because that's what everyone's talking about. 4th and 5, minute left, you have 3 timeouts. It's embarrassing that Nathaniel Hackett, who was not ready to be an NFL head coach in that moment last night, we'll see if he could eventually save his NFL coaching career, because you're not defined by one game, even though sometimes we like to make it out to be that you are. But it's incredulous to me how he thought, with a minute to go and 3 timeouts, that kicking a 64-yard field goal was the right move. Now, I love Brandon McManus. He's a Temple Owl. I went to school with him. I know he has a monster leg. He had the distance. It just went wide to the left. But a 64-yard field goal in that spot with over a minute left does not make sense. It's inconceivable. You go for it on 4th and 5. I'd rather have Russell Wilson try to complete a 5-yard pass than a 64-yard field goal. Now, there's only 8 seconds left, 5 seconds left. You kick the field goal. That's your chance to go win the game. But you had over a minute left. It just doesn't make sense. So now, after 1 week of the NFL season, we knew Aaron Rodgers was going to be back in Green Bay. What we didn't know is that Davante Adams was not going to be back with him. That was the surprise, that Davante Adams was not back, but Aaron Rodgers was. We always thought, oh, where would they play together, somewhere else? Or they're both going to say. And then I guess Aaron Rodgers knew all along from his conversation with Davante Adams that Davante Adams is going to wind up probably with the Raiders and reunite with his old college teammate in Derek Carr. And after one game without having Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers made it clear this week that each and every year he hears at the NFC North, there's going to be teams that are trying to take his throne and take his cape. They lost to an NFC North team, who I don't think they'll win the division. I think the Vikings will be a good team this year. I've been on the record saying that all throughout the offseason. But it wasn't even close. And for Russell Wilson, he goes to a new team, and Russell Wilson loses that game where all he wanted to do was just let Russ cook. He goes to a new team, and ironically, his new coach didn't let him cook. Didn't put the ball in his hands with the game on the line. Instead, he said, let's give the ball a long snapper, snap it to the holder, and then we'll have our kicker try to make a 64-yard field goal. It's going to be so fascinating to see what happens in the rest of the careers for Russell Wilson and for Aaron Rodgers. Because for Russell Wilson, he'll be a Hall of Famer. But if you fail to win another Super Bowl, you know what people are going to say. When you wanted to be the guy, when you wanted to be the face of the organization, when you wanted to be the guy that was cooking, didn't get the job done. Kind of Kevin Durant-like, you were more of a bus rider than a bus driver. Because that first Super Bowl, I'm not saying Russ wasn't good, but you remember that first Super Bowl victory and his only Super Bowl victory with Seattle, defense, Pete, Marshawn. Those are really the first three things that you think of. And you could tell Russ wants to win another one because if he wins another one, that's multiple Super Bowls, and this will be the one for his ego that he was the guy leading the ship. And for Aaron Rodgers, we know Aaron Rodgers, in terms of talent, is a top 10 talent of all time at the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. We all know that. If you're Aaron Rodgers, though, with how early on in your career you won a Super Bowl, and then how many times you got close in the last few years, and you don't walk away with another ring, it will be disappointing. So I can't wait to see how probably the next 2 years plays out for Aaron Rodgers, because I think he's only going to play two more years this year and next year, and then I think he'll be done and walk away. Because there's a drive for Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think it's at the nutty kind of drive that Tom Brady has. We're finally heard Tom Brady for the first time ever admit that he's actually like feeling pain and, you know, it's rough from week to week now, as he did on his Let's Go podcast. And I do believe that this is Tom Brady's final year. But for Rodgers, I think he's only going to play two more years. And for Russell Wilson, in terms of championship football, you probably have a window of like 5 years, let's say. 5 to 7, potentially. Not everyone's able to play in their 40s. We know that. But those two guys that have been huge stories the last 2 years continue to be huge stories this year. Because now the decisions have been made. The decision for Aaron Rodgers was to stay in Green Bay. You don't have Elgton Jenkins. You don't have David Bakhtiari right now. They're hurt. Christian Watson didn't play last week, the rookie wide receiver. You don't have Devontae Adams anymore. He's on the Raiders. It's kind of like, Alan Lazard didn't play last week. But it's kind of like you're making $50 million a year. You got to figure it out. Great quarterbacks find a way to win with less around them. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's what the greats do. And for Russell Wilson, you got everything you wanted. So now there's no excuses. How would you view Rodgers, Hickey, if in the next 2 years he does not win another Super Bowl and he only finishes his career with one Super Bowl title?
Underachieving. Maybe that, unfair to word? Say, but with all that talent, with so many great teams that the Packers have had, getting the one seed, losing at home how many times in the playoffs, it's not all on him. Plenty of games where he could have and should have played better. I would say for his talent, for what we've seen, one ring, underachieving.
I would say disappointing. Great career, but my word would be disappointing or underwhelming, which it's all similar. You could all be synonyms with what we're saying, pretty much. We're all in the right ballpark. Now, if Russell Wilson doesn't win another ring, how would you look back at the career of Russell Wilson? How would you describe that? I guess you could say failure of not being able to do it on your own.
I would say frustrating. When he's coming up, obviously he was led by the defense, got the ring there. Right now, at least in current day, I thought when he was playing some of his best football, he was handcuffed by Pete Carroll. Now he's on his own. He's unable to either get back to that level or unable to carry a team to win a Super Bowl. It would be a little frustrating considering his talent that he has. He is more than capable of leading a team to win another Super Bowl.
It would be a letdown. Now, I don't think they'll win that Super Bowl this year. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs this year. But I've never said that it can't work with Russ long-term in Denver. But it would be a major letdown if he doesn't win another ring in this league. Because you think, and he said this before, he wants to be in that all-time great conversation. Well, when you say that and you think you could get there, you got to go win another one. Now, do we have the calls from last night? Ryan?
No. Could not find him anywhere.
You have Kevin Harlan at least.
Yes.
Okay. We don't have... Wait, hold on. At National Network, we don't have the Seattle call from last night or the Denver call from last night.
That is right.
Now, let me be clear.
Sure.
I'm not yelling at you for this. But what were these tape ops doing last night? And I love the behind-the-scenes guys, but what were they doing last night that they can't get the Seattle or the Denver call?
I will say it's a little trickier now because the system we use, the highlights come to us. It's only Westwood One on national games. They don't do the local calls for the national games. And all the national calls are behind paywalls. And even when I was looking on Twitter today, sometimes you'll get, you know, tweets of some big-time calls.
Yeah, like the guy that was in the Manti Te'o doc that wrote the article for Deadspin. He usually tweets them all out, whatever his name is.
Timothy Burke. And we were able to get one for Gene Dekaroff last night on Twitter for the Buccaneers call. Literally nowhere. I've tried both the Broncos and Seahawks throughout the show. Nowhere on Twitter, nowhere online can I find any radio highlights from yesterday's game.
So you're saying we're basically not set up to succeed for the audio here?
Correct.
Okay. So what, management just has to pay for more? Is that what you're telling me?
Basically, if you want the local calls for national games, yeah.
And we used to pay for some service and now we don't?
No, you used to be able to get it for free a little easier.
Okay. Whatever.
Now some of the walls have been shored up.
This is above my pay grade. Let's just listen up to the great Kevin Harlan last night calling how this business did go down on Westwood One.
A 64-yard field goal tried by Denver to take the lead. Ball put down. Right-footed kick is away, and it is no good. Wide left. And the sideline erupts for Seattle.
So that's how it sounded last night. Is there a way, and I'll throw some blame on myself. I should have asked you this before the show. Can we go back in that broadcast and get before the end of the show? Is there any way to get the lead up to that and the build up to that? Ryan, do you think that's possible in terms of like the 40 seconds when the clock is ticking down and we heard from Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and Shannon Sharp? Is there a way to go back in the Westwood One system by any way and get those like 40 seconds or so, do you think?
I doubt it, but I'll check.
Okay. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We have a big budget here, if you can't tell. We'll take a timeout when we return. Kalani Sitake, the head football coach at BYU, they're now 12th in the nation. He's done a wonderful job with that program. We know BYU's going to the Big 12, but right now they have a monster schedule. Last week they went up against Baylor at their home, and on their own home turf they were able to take down the Baylor Bears in a double overtime thriller. And this week they travel to Eugene to go up against the Ducks of Oregon as Bo Nix bounce back after getting destroyed by Georgia. And now it's going to be a little Oregon, who's 25th in the nation, going up against 12th-ranked BYU. We'll talk to Kalani Sitake next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. I was watching this game late Saturday night. You could even say early Sunday morning. It was a top 25 matchup between the Baylor Bears and the BYU Cougars, and the Cougs in double overtime get the victory 26-20. They're now 12th in the nation, and them being in the top 25 has now just been a regular occurrence under their head football coach, Kalani Sitake, who's kind enough to join us right now. Coach, congratulations on the win. I know you're getting set for a big matchup this week, another top 25 get-together in Eugene up against Oregon, but thanks for carving out a few moments.
No, my pleasure. Great to be on with you.
So I got to start you off, and this is why I love college football and just football in general, the next man up mentality. You're down your top two wide receivers, and what a day Chase Roberts had, not only catching the football, but also on that double pass through a touchdown. Just how about what the youngster showed you?
Yeah, I'm just thankful I get to coach, you know, great young men, and we talked about our depth. The goal as a coaching staff was to get our depth up there and make sure that they're ready to roll, that there's not a huge drop-off from one to two. And, you know, missing, obviously, our two top targets from last year. That's tough, but it also gives an opportunity for young guys like Chase to step up and make plays, and I'm glad that he was able to do that. And I'm glad that, you know, our offense coordinator, Aaron Roderick, and then our receivers coach and passing game coordinator, Fessy Sitake, that they had a lot of confidence in him. I mean, that, you know, he not just to run routes and play receiver, but also to throw the ball. And that's I love having the players feel the belief in them to make plays, and I'm grateful that I have a staff that puts these young men in position to have success.
8 receptions, 122 yards, the receiving touchdown, and also the passing touchdown. Were you at all surprised what Chase was able to do for you guys?
No, we knew that he could do that. We have a good group of young men in that receiving room, and we feel good about those guys that were going to replace the two that were missing. And so they all did it together. They were pretty productive as a group. It just happened that a lot of the passes went Chase Roberts' way, and then when it did, he made the plays. The other guys had some production as well, and overall, as a group, I was really pleased with them.
What's the status for Puka Nacua and then also Gunnar Romney for this weekend?
It's still day-to-day, and so I wish I was an expert in the sports medicine department, but I'm not. So we will do whatever is best for them first, and then hopefully we can get them this weekend. That would be ideal for me and for our coaches, but right now, still day-to-day.
Kalani Sitake here with us, the Cougars of BYU, 12th in the nation. They just came off a win up against top 10 Baylor, and now they have number 25 Oregon this weekend in Eugene. Speak to me a little bit about your defense and what you saw from them over the weekend. I know Baylor loved to run the football. They did so 52 times, but that was in a big part the way that you guys played Blake Shapen, their quarterback. What stood out to you about your defense?
Well, I felt really confident with our coaching staff and then our defense coaching staff, beginning with our defense coordinator, Elisa Tuyaki, and him working with that group. And I thought they devised a great game plan. It was going to require our guys to be a little bit more stout and to probably get into a physical battle up on a line scrimmage. And I thought the guys, didn't do as well last year, and this year was an opportunity for them to prove themselves a little bit, and I was really pleased with the way they played the game. It wasn't perfect. There's definitely some things that we can improve on, but I thought the mentality was right, and I thought the coaches had their guys ready, the players were ready to go, and I liked the result, but definitely I'm the coach in me just wants to be like, hey, let's make it even better, right? So there's a lot of room for improvement still. I saw the team improve, especially at the line of scrimmage from week one to week two on the defensive side, and I'd like to see the same type of improvement go from week two to week three.
And it was kind of crazy how often Baylor was running the football, the coach. They ran it 52 times, and I'm sitting on my couch, and I think most fans probably watching that game go, oh, it's easy just because all they're going to do is just run, so it makes it easier to defend. But I was waiting for them to sneak in a pass or two or maybe even three. How difficult is that when a team starts to become one-dimensional and you have to just be on your toes a little bit, even though you think a run's always going to be coming?
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be easy for our players to get used to the same look and then, bite on a play-action pass or something like that. But we knew when they had the ball on the 5-yard line, that's kind of a test of will. Are they going to punch it in these four downs that they have from here? And we were lucky we were in front of our student section there. It was pretty loud, so we were able to get some help from the fans and get a penalty, force them back a little bit, and gave us some space. But the guys, the resilience in our players and the belief that they can still make plays, even though it was working. Baylor was chipping away and getting the ball downfield, and I'm just really proud of the guys and the way they were able to respond and get that stop and get us a win.
We saw what your quarterback, Jaren Hall, could do last year, 20 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. For people that aren't familiar with him, how would you describe your quarterback?
Yeah, great leader. He'll do whatever it takes to win. He thinks about the team first, and I've been really impressed with the decisions that he makes, where to go with the ball, the audibles that he's making, the adjustments, his feedback that he gives us when he comes off the field, and then just his willingness to keep working. It's all the little details, just the small little things that probably people don't see on film or on the field. It's the stuff that he does off the field that really matters the most. And I'm glad that he's our quarterback, but he's such a great example to the rest of the guys on our team on how to love your teammates and how to relish the role that you have. And he's always been a team guy. And so even when he was back up to, you know, to Zach Wilson, he was a guy that's always learning, trying to find ways to get better, trying to help the team. And I appreciate that mentality and that the standard that he set for the rest of the team. So everybody's relishing their roles. And sometimes it's the guys on the field, but a lot of the other times it's the guys, what they're doing off the field and on the sidelines that get you a win.
And I thought there was no better example of that. I know your kicker had a rough evening, but right after the game ended, the moment when it was over, you saw Jaron go right over to your kicker to try to lift him up a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm very fortunate on our team to have a great young men, and there's great young men in all of college football, but I'm very fortunate to have a good group of young men on our team that really care about each other and love each other, and they're there to pick them up. And obviously Jaron is one of them, and he's our captain. But you know, I saw an entire team embrace Jake, and the things that Jake's made a lot of kicks and won games for us in the past, and he will win games for us in the future. But it was important that the team you know, had his back and loved him. And I thought that was a huge step for us, regardless of the outcome of the game. It just worked out that we won the game, but how awesome was it that our, as the fans were storming the field, that our quarterback and leader was hugging our kicker and giving him some words of advice and giving him some loving, and just embracing him, you know. So those are the guys that get to coach, and I wish I could take credit for it. All I can say is that these guys are great young men, and I love being around them, and they make me a better person.
Kalani Sitake here with us, a head football coach at BYU on the Zach Gelb Show. So you discussed it a little bit as you had Jaron Hall, your quarterback, take over for Zach Wilson. We know he's been in the program the last few years. There was a lot of pressure on him last year. He did a nice job for your football team. What did you really challenge him in this offseason to improve on? Because I know you're always about getting the most out of your players and getting better day by day.
Well, I just wanted him to do whatever he could to improve and get better. And you know, it's not me that's going to give him the direction. It's our offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, Aaron Roderick, who has done a great job with quarterbacks and our position group and with this offense. I wanted them to devise a plan that could get Jaron to take the next step. I thought he did a great job last year earning the spot and winning the starting spot. This year was a little different. Now that he's a starter, it's how are you going to you know, how are you going to perfect your craft? What are you going to do to get to the next step? And it takes hard work and dedication, and that's what he's all about. And so to see the things that he did in the offseason, the leadership that he showed, the camaraderie that he had around our players, he's at a different level right now, way different than he was last year. And, man, I'm just loving the product that I'm seeing on the field. But more than anything, he's allowing this culture on our team to thrive and to grow stronger. And, you know, I think the guys really enjoy being around each other, and it's showing on the field. And right now we just got to keep this thing rolling. And I'm going to lean heavily on Jaron and others on this team to lead and to keep bringing us along.
I know you're caught up in the moment, but when you have a player like Zach Wilson, who's the second overall pick, and then Jaron replaces Zach, there's going to be NFL expectations. I saw Pete Thamel from ESPN before the season started say that he expects him to be a first-round quarterback. Do you view Jaron Hall as someone that has a big-time future in the NFL as a potential first-round pick? Or, you know, first-round pick?
I think we have a lot of NFL players on our roster, you know, and it's just a matter of timing and when they're ready to go. I don't run an NFL team, and I'm not a scout for them, but I'm willing to share whatever information I can give to them. We give the scouts access to be at our practices and to come watch our guys, because I want them to see them in the element. I want to see them competing. I want to see how that they're seeing how these guys work and practice. That matters to me. But at the same time, I want to keep our players focused on what's ahead. And then right now, we got to be focused on what's coming up this week rather than what's going to be there in April or May of next year. You know, so you focus on what's happening right now and live in this moment and appreciate it. All the other stuff will take care of itself. And I know it sounds cliche and everything, but my job is to keep Jaron focused on what he's doing. How can he improve? How can he be the best version of himself and make sure that shows up on Saturday?
Kalani Sitake here with us. Oregon 1-1. You'll go to their place this upcoming Saturday in the afternoon to have a little matchup against them. Their quarterback, Bo Nix, has some big-time experience at Auburn. Now the quarterback in Eugene had a rough first game, but then bounced back in a big way in game number two. What's your evaluation of their quarterback in Bo Nix?
Yeah, great player. And you look at the – I mean, they played the national champs week one, you know, so that's a tough outing. And you could see the talent on the team, and you could see the poise and the ability that Bo has. But I'm really impressed with their team, and especially after this last week, the film, tons of speed and athleticism, very physical team up on the line of scrimmage especially. And this is a great opportunity for us to go see how we measure up, and actually going on the road in a hostile environment. I've been in Eugene, and I've been in that stadium, been in Austin, so it's not going to be easy. But man, we're excited about the opportunity and the challenge, and so we're going to do our best and see what happens during this week as we prep for the game. But we have tons of respect and definitely see the talent and the product of football that they're putting out. I think Dan Lanning is doing a good job. He has a great coaching staff, and then those guys are, you're starting to see from last week what they're able to do and how many points they can put up and how physical and how these guys can run around. They're starting to really come into their own, and we're probably going to see their best on Saturday, and I'm hoping that we can bring ours as well.
I remember when the Oregon job was open a year ago, there was a report that they were interested in you, and then you signed a big extension with BYU. Were you ever close to taking that Oregon job?
Oregon got the man they wanted, and I'm the BYU coach. This is going to be about the players and not about the coaches more than anything. And I'm not going to get into that stuff other than just saying that the focus on this for me is my team, my players, and trying to get our fans everything that they expect.
I know you've been the coach at BYU since 2016. Sometimes when I talk to people about coaching their alma mater, they say they love it, but it's also extremely challenging because you feel extra pressure because that is your school where you made a name for yourself as a player. Where is the enjoyment for you and that enjoyment level when it comes to coaching your own alma mater?
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. First of all, even though I played here, I grew up a BYU fan, so I love BYU as a fan first. I'm a fan first. I just happen to be fortunate to be a player here for Lavelle Edwards, a great coach and a legend. And then now I come back as a head coach. And so before I was a head coach and before I was a player, I was always a fan. And, I'm enjoying it. I'm having as much fun as I can. I understand the fans' expectations, and I'm looking forward to trying to meet all of them and make them all happy.
Yeah, so last year we saw Cincinnati go to the college football playoff, and I know you guys are going to the Big 12, but that opened up a door for like a school that's in your situation. Do your players, do you feel that? Do you sense that from their players? There's a belief that this group could go to the college football playoff this year if you guys take care of business, because you guys have a challenging schedule. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I know a lot of people want to talk about, playoffs and all this other stuff and bowl games and things like that. We're going to be focused on what's here now and trying to avoid all the distractions. We were lucky enough to have Andy Reid speak to our team this spring. He's a former player here. And one of the things that he gave us as far as advice was avoiding distractions. So we're going to be focused on what we're trying to get done, and that's being our best self when we get to the game in Eugene. And that's it. I think everything else will fall into place, whether it's the NFL or bowl games or whatever it may be in the postseason. Let's just take care of this right now. And our main goal and our entire focus is on Oregon and that great team that they have there in Eugene.
Totally understood. Last thing I'll ask you, head coach Kalani Sitake, you've done a great job with this program. I think a lot of people that follow the sport recognize the toughness and the grittiness of your football team. Do you sense, though, nationally, the respect for BYU there, or do you still feel like your squad gets disrespected year in and year out?
You know, I don't know the image or what people think of us. All I know is I love these young men. I love that they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And I get a great group of young men that are from wonderful families. I want them to highlight their talents and their abilities. And it's not just limited to the football field. I want them to be the best versions of themselves in every way, whether that's being a friend, a son, a brother, and definitely being a BYU football cougar. You know, so we're going to do our best, and my focus is trying to get these guys to live their dreams, but also to have great memories, and I want to do my best to make that happen, and then I'll just let everybody else figure out what they think about us.
Coach, heck of a win over the weekend. We'll be watching this upcoming Saturday. Just one more quickie before we let you run. Your old quarterback, Zach Wilson, I know he's hurt right now, and the Jets are waiting for him to come on back. Just where's your belief level that the Jets have their guy in Zach Wilson to be their franchise quarterback?
Yeah, he'll be fine. Listen, the kid works hard, and he has great football IQ. His moment will come, and when he's healthy and ready to go, I think everybody will. People can predict and see the talent that he has. I think you just give him some time, and it'll work out. That's all that guy does is step up, especially when there's some adversity or there's pressure on him.
Well, Coach, we appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union and proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Steelers safety Minka Fitzpatrick was the MVP of Sunday's win over the Bengals. He opened up the scoring by intercepting Joe Burrow and taking it back 31 yards for a touchdown before blocking what would have been the game-winning extra point with just 2 seconds left in the fourth quarter to force overtime. The All-Pro safety also led all defenders with 14 tackles in the game. And late, he had that unnecessary roughness penalty. And then he was still able to go block the PAT. That's what was super impressive. And he joined us on Eye on Football afterwards. He basically said, the PAT wasn't as tough as what we made it out to be. Yeah, it's an exhilarating play because the Bengals just didn't block him. They barely blocked him. It was unbelievable. Steelers, though, will play the Patriots this weekend at the stadium that I'll still call Heinz Field because I can't remember what the new stadium name is called. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Josh in Boston next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Josh, what do you got for me?
Hey, Zach Gelb, man. Nice to talk to you. First time I've listened to your show. I love your style and presentation, man.
Appreciate it. What do you got for me today?
I got for you that I think the Patriots will go down again in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure what you get, like, you national guys think, like, because around here we're just crushing Belichick for going out there early in Miami and then laying an egg, you know. And I just think that with Mac Jones, his arm strength isn't there. And, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you got to put Mac Jones in a position to succeed. So I'm a Patriot fan, and thanks for the phone call, Josh. I'm really not concerned about Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is a good quarterback, but that offensive line's going to get him killed. And can we tell Matt Patricia to stop being a dope? I love Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is my favorite coach in the history of the National Football League. It is amazing to me and mystifying to me how Bill Belichick is trusting his young quarterback with Matt Patricia, who was an offensive assistant in the early 2000s. The guy's a defensive coordinator. And Joe Judge is going to have a role in the process as well because, what, he played quarterback in college? The guy stunk as a head coach, was a wide receiver coach for a year when the wide receivers were maybe the worst in New England since Rishay Caldwell and Doug Gabriel. And then he made his name in New England, I guess you could say, as a special teams guy. So I don't get what the Patriots are doing. I don't. And I don't like the approach whatsoever on the offense side of the ball. And this report from Tom Curran, I heard him on WEI, that Kendrick Bourne's in Patricia's doghouse. Matt Patricia shouldn't be allowed to have a doghouse. Get Kendrick Bourne's ass on the field. Because that guy's a playmaker for the Patriots. He was last year, and this year, you played him, what, two plays? And the guy had one reception for 41 yards. Patricia, stop being so salty. Stop being a baby. Fix your posture. Stop sulking and get his ass on the field in Kendrick Bourne. Ugh, Patricia. It's only 1 week, Hickey. It's 1 week. And I can't stand Matt Patricia. What are you clapping about?
I love it. Honestly, I've been waiting for this for years.
Yeah.
The demise of the Patriots, I did not see it ending like this.
Okay. You had Peyton Manning on one ring.
Yeah, he did.
Disgrace of an organization.
I'm going to go disgrace, but underachieving, absolutely.
Go raise a AFC finalist banner again. Jeez. What, you tie against the Texans and now you're puffing your chest out? Come on. You got to be better than that, Icky.
No, now, oh, I see. You can make fun of my teams. I can't make fun of your teams. I see. That's the one-way street we're playing now.
No, go ahead. Say whatever you want.
I said what
Sticks
I said.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt.
All I got to say is, let's go, Mitch.
You're rooting for the Steelers this week.
Oh, of course I am. Why wouldn't I?
Could hurt you when your team may be fighting for a wild card spot, according to you.
Well, that'll be the division or bust.
Let's get to the closing bell. Closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
So I read this story from Ryan Glasspiegel of the New York Post. Brian Ferentz, the son of Kirk Ferentz, who's the longtime head coach at Iowa. Brian is his offensive coordinator. The offense can't do jack. They scored 7 points up against Iowa State. And last weekend, the defense, or 2 weekends ago, the defense outscored the offense, which is crazy. So a fan of the Iowa Hawkeyes sent cameos out to legendary football coach Bob Stoops. And then the head basketball coach at Iowa, Fran McCaffrey. Let's hear these cameos.
Hello there, Brian. Bob Stoops here saying hi. And listen, I know you've had a tough couple of 2-3 years there, but the good news is your family still supports you, buddy, especially your dad. He wants you to know that. But and even though everyone else seems to be against you, sometimes the best advice is to break free from the family business, man. Go do what you got to do. So, anyhow, all the best to you and a big Boomer Sooner and good luck.
Hey, Brian, Fran McCaffrey here. I wanted to reach out and let you know that all of us in the Hawkeye family are thinking about you. Your family loves you. Your dad loves you. The Hawkeyes love you. If you think about making a move back to New England, wherever you go, wherever you are, the Hawkeye family will always be with you. Go Hawks.
That's an amazing troll job by whoever that Iowa fan was. Give a stock up to that Iowa fan for trolling the Ferentz family. Geno Smith and Pete Carroll, you did it. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. The Seahawks are 1-0, and Hickey's Super Bowl pick, Coach of the Year pick, and MVP pick, 0-1. Thank you, Pete Carroll. Thank you, Geno Smith. Stock up. TJ Watt reportedly will not need season-ending surgery. After the tone on Sunday was he had a torn pec, that is unbelievably good news for TJ Watt and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Stock up. So this is from CBS Sports HQ today. Tom Brady in the red zone since 2020. 59 passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Bah! And that's right, he's the GOAT. Stock up, TB12. Nathaniel Hackett. WTF. Not ready for the moment. There may be no bigger fan of Brandon McManus than yours truly, T for Temple U. But you want him kicking a 64-yard field goal when you have Russell Wilson on 4th and 5 with over a minute to go and 3 timeouts? That made 0 sense. Stock down to Nathaniel Hackett. Sail! Hot Rod. Rodrigo Blankenship. Everyone obsesses over him. Had 2 kickoffs out of bounds, missed the big field goal, and now he's no longer a part of the Indianapolis Colts. Give a stock down to Hot Rod, Rodrigo Blankenship. I also saw this story from Ryan Glasspiegel. This has been the Ryan Glasspiegel closing bell, I guess, today for the New York Post. So Micah Parsons, I guess, was supposed to do a weekly interview with Undisputed, so Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. He's promoted it. They've promoted it. It was supposed to be every Tuesday, so today they get to the interview. Never heard from him. When they confirmed on Monday, never heard from him. I guess this guy is so upset because they lost week 1 that now he's not going to honor his commitment. That's weak. And Jerry Jones, you know, is begging him probably to do it because it's drama. And that's how the Cowboys determine wins and losses, how much drama they could stir up. Instead, you have Micah Parsons get into a fight with Leonard Fournette with the block on him and all that stuff. Give a stock down to Micah Parsons. Pro Football Focus. Their information, sometimes valuable. Also, you may want to take it with a grain of salt. Pro Football Focus, highest quarterback grades for week one. Patrick Mahomes has to be in the top three, right, Ryan, you would think?
What, 9 incompletions, 5 touchdowns? I would say so.
Yeah, he was 8th. 71.5 was their rating.
Who were the 7 quarterbacks ahead of him?
Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, Justin Herbert, Jameis Winston, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and then Patrick Mahomes.
Are you kidding me?
I thought this was a Ballsack Sports tweet. I thought it was a fake tweet. I thought it was fake news, but no, it was from the fantasy and betting social lead at Pro Football Focus, Jared Evans. So whatever that is. I don't know how those grades are determined, but geez, stock down. And finally, Russell Wilson. You got what you wanted. And then your own coach wouldn't even let you cook. Stock down. Big thank you to KJ Wright, Tyler Palumbis, Kalani Sitake, each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. The Zach Gelb Show. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.